When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and we are together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on the weekend that was, mainly in the sport of football. Week number 13 of the National Football League regular season, the Sunday slate and all that we saw, including the NFC Championship game rematch from a season ago, a potential preview for this upcoming January as well. And I got a lot of steam to blow off on this Monday morning following the college football playoff rankings and the selection of the Final Four here in 2023. DRS, I got a feeling it's going to be a fun, if a little bit infuriating, Monday morning with you.
By the way, I put a tweet out, and again, I'm a man of the people, Ben, and I said, for the greater good, sometimes you have to sacrifice. You really do. I said, if FSU misses the college football playoff, I will accept my favorite team in the world, the Philadelphia Eagles, getting beat by the 49ers. The 49ers smacked the Eagles around. I show up this morning with a big smile on my face because I know when you give sacrifices, you get good things back. And even though my Philadelphia Eagles got a house and I did not enjoy watching that football game, the fact of the matter is, when FSU being left out of the playoff, I feel like all is right in the world and I can move on and be happy with my decisions.
All is wrong in the world, and a terrible precedent was set yesterday by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But as we start off here on this Monday morning, we go to that NFC Championship game rematch. Don't worry about the final score. Donnie just told you why what played out yesterday in South Philadelphia happened. 42-19, the victory for San Francisco. Before we dive in, let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here, opening hour of the opening day of a new week. It's a Monday live on the early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our other radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. He is Donnie, and I am Ben. 42-19, Donnie. San Francisco wins and covers as a 2.5-point favorite. They get their revenge from the dismal result last year in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, when you roll into a football game, and number one, Ben, you play well, and you get the benefit of the doubt on some breaks, you're going to steamroll good football teams, as the 49ers did yesterday. They were clearly the better team, and we said it all week long. There's a reason why the odds are set where the 49ers were favorites heading into this football game. And I think my term is always, that's a stone-cold San Francisco line, and it was. They were the better team on Sunday, no question about it. There's still a game behind the Philadelphia Eagles, who again will be behind the eight ball on Sunday night football against the Dallas Cowboys. That's when the fun really begins. But the 49ers, they won that game. They were the better football team.
We knew the gauntlet had to catch up with Philly at a certain point. We'll break down what it means for the overall odds outlook for the NFC Championship race. San Francisco has covered in 8 of their 9 victories. In all 9 wins this year, the 49ers have scored at least 27 points. All right. Now here we go. On Selection Sunday for the College Football Playoff, the 10th and final year of a four-team format to determine a national champion. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee was tasked with something we really had not seen, Donnie, since the first year of this back in 2014. Five or six teams that were fully qualified to earn one of those final four spots, and this is what they determined. Number one is Michigan. Number two, it's Washington. Number three, it's Texas. And that coveted fourth and final spot goes to one loss, SEC champion Alabama. Florida State at number five, the first Power Five conference champion in the decade history of the College Football Playoff to be undefeated and miss out on the CFP.
It's a tough scene for Florida State, deserving to go, absolutely. But anybody that watched Florida State the past 2 weeks recognized they weren't one of the best four teams in the country. And it's a shame, because I always preface this argument. If Jordan Travis never gets injured, we welcome them with open arms in the College Football Playoff. Let's get it on. But the fact of the matter is, this whole fallacy of the College Football Playoff and what they've done has been ridiculous since the beat. I mean, granted, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you're voting after bowl games that had tie-ins. You're not even playing one versus two. That's what we call the mythical national championship. Then we got to the BCS era, which left you with computers. Everybody got mad at that. Then you added four teams in there, which was wonderful until you realized you had five power conferences and how idiotic that was going to be and eventually catch up to you. So then we use the eyeball test now to go along with the top four. And Florida State lost the eyeball test big. Fair or not fair, I think we got the best College Football Playoff, and that's honestly what it should be about.
Back in those days, Donnie, when newspaper writers and magazines determined a college football national champion, it was referred to as a beauty contest. Your name, your brand, and what you did on the football field. It seemed like in the College Football Playoff era, games and results were going to win out. Games and results were going to matter most. Yesterday, that fallacy was put to bed. Games do not matter. Winning all of your games does not matter. Winning a conference championship in a Power Five league makes no difference. Losses do not matter. The only thing that matters is an injury to a starting quarterback. Injuries greater than titles, greater than wins. A very dangerous precedent set yesterday by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee to leave a 13-0 perfect, undefeated Power Five conference champion, Florida State, out of the College Football Playoff. In the 10-year history of the College Football Playoff, there have been 15 undefeated Power 5 conference champions, including three this year: Michigan, Washington, Florida State. FSU is the first of those 15 schools to be left out of the College Football Playoff. We'll have plenty more to say later on as we react in hour number two. Donnie, let's fly around the National Football League in the Sunday slate. A wild ending at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field between the Packers and the Chiefs. A missed call on a Hail Mary attempt for KC, potentially, but either way, Green Bay pulls off the upset, winning outright as a 5.5-point underdog, DRS 27-19 at home. The Packers have won three straight games.
Yeah, by the way, Kansas City, now it's time to start to hit the panic button. I thought they would run the table. They were 6-point favorites here in the Green Bay, which, again, was kind of interesting. It's like, hey, man, that's really a Kansas City line. But having said that, the Packers more the focal point to me. Jordan Love coming into his own. But the Chiefs, the same way we looked at them the beginning of the year, can they be explosive at the wide receiver position? They cannot, and that's really hurt them. Even in a football game where they got 110 yards and 18 carries out of Isaiah Pacheco, and it wasn't good enough to win. Matter of fact, wasn't even good enough to technically keep them within a touchdown here. That's amazing stuff for the Packers, but now I officially start to worry where I don't think the Chiefs are going to get the number one overall seed now in the AFC.
The Chiefs held below 20 points once again, 8-4 for KC. The Houston Texans at home hold off the Denver Broncos in a game with huge implications for the AFC wild card race. The Texans win and cover at home, DRS 22-17.
Big time win for the Texans. Congratulations to them, 7-5 on their way to the playoffs. But I feel a little bit bad for the Broncos. Played a solid football game, but it's hard to win against quality opponents on the road in the NFL. And they had a chance late in that football game, but Russ wasn't able to come through. Credit to Mecko Ryans and that defense for making a stand at the end of the game. Wonderful performance by the Texans.
After a ton of weather delays at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, the Steelers get upset by the Arizona Cardinals, who win by two touchdowns, adding insult to injury. Literally, Kenny Pickett expected to miss some time with an ankle injury. Liberty not in contention for the College Football Playoff, but a perfect undefeated year as well to play in the New Year's Six. Hero World Challenge happened too. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, reacting to what we saw in the Sunday slate in the National Football League, week number 13. That was highlighted, of course, by a game of the year for a third consecutive week for the Philadelphia Eagles. The NFC title game rematch from a season ago between the San Francisco 49ers and those Birds. And Donnie, there was so much conversation between these two teams, between these two organizations, between these two fan bases entering yesterday's game following last year's result, the injury to Brock Purdy, and what could have been. Ultimately, it was the Eagles that won an NFC title a year ago. This time, though, in week number 13, San Francisco avenges that loss and does so in a big way. 42-19. San Francisco goes into Philly and covers as a 2.5-point road favorite. Donnie, now I expected, based on where the line was, San Francisco probably to come out on the winning end. They were a favorite at the link yesterday in Philadelphia. But I still expected the game to be closer than it was. So what is your overall takeaway to what you saw yesterday in Philly?
You can't win every game in the NFL. We understand that, which is why the Philadelphia Eagles have losses to the 49ers and the New York Jets of all teams. Any given Sunday, if you bring out your best, you can win. The one thing the Eagles had going in the direction heading into that football game yesterday was they were at home. That was it. Rest advantage. It was all in the Niners' favor. And we knew they were a quality opponent coming in. The Philadelphia Eagles opened up the game 6-0, had two nice drives. San Francisco couldn't get out of their way. And then San Francisco hit the gas pedal because they have good players. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Christian McCaffrey's a good running back. You have legitimate wide receivers and one of the best tight ends in football. Eventually, that was going to catch up to you. Now, they played great and also got the benefit of some doubts here. You take a look early in the game, and sometimes there's no excuses because the Niners were a better football team than the Eagles. I want to get that out of the way right now. But you saw the Eagles up 6-0 there in the second quarter. There was an offsides call on an incomplete pass on third down. If that call doesn't get made, and I haven't seen anything where Josh Witt was offsides, that is a 6-3 game there. So, okay, no touchdown here, and we're still in the game. Then you also saw a couple holding calls deep. When the Eagles finally get back into the football game, that Deebo Samuel run, 45, 50 yards after the catch, it was sensational by Deebo. But also it helps when you guys are tackling midway down the field in your secondary. And again, that doesn't absolve anything. You still have a chance to respond, and you don't always get the calls going in your favorite on a day-to-day. The fact of the matter is the 49ers made the adjustments and worked the Eagles defense silly over that time frame. Now, all's not lost. The 49ers didn't win the Super Bowl yesterday. The Eagles didn't lose the NFC today. These two teams will meet in the playoffs. It may be more on an even field, even if it's in Philadelphia, in San Francisco, coming in at that time on equal break time. We'll see if that makes a difference. But yesterday, it was the 49ers day, and most people were calling for a 49ers victory, and they got it.
Yeah, and that's what the line said as well. It was shocking almost to see San Francisco as a road favorite and see the line at certain points last week entering this NFC Championship game rematch reach a full field goal in favor of the 49ers. It's the third time only for Philadelphia booked as an underdog since the start of last year in Super Bowl 57 against the Chiefs. In the Monday night rematch 2 weeks ago in Arrowhead against the Chiefs, the Birds won outright. And yesterday again, against San Francisco, they did not cover. But there are some takeaways, I believe, that we will look at. Each and every Sunday in the National Football League is significant, and it has an impact because there's not all that many games, and it changes the way that we think. We talked about it last week, Donnie. Both you and I still believed that Philadelphia was the best team in the NFC and would be there at the end of the road. San Francisco more than likely to be there as well. We're talking about the defending conference champion, Philadelphia Eagles, and a San Francisco team that has played in the NFC title game, regardless of who the quarterback has been, three of the last 4 years. If there was a prop bet for one of these two teams to play in the NFC Championship game, it would be heavily juiced in minus money. For both of these teams to be there seems like a likely path at the end of 2023 as well. When we look overall at the quarterback comparison, Brock Purdy was outstanding yesterday on the road. 19 16 of 27, 314 yards, 4 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 17 rush attempts, 93 yards, a touchdown. You mentioned Deebo Samuel, 3 total touchdowns, more than 110 yards receiving through the air. Jalen Hurts on the other side, 298 yards and a touchdown, did score as well. There just wasn't enough offensively against a really good San Francisco defense, I think, for Philly yesterday. 18 carries, Donnie, as a team for only 46 total yards. Jalen Hurts was their leading rusher, 2.6 yards per carry for the Birds yesterday against a San Francisco front seven that is one of two teams in the National Football League alongside Chicago that allows less than 80 yards per game on the ground on average.
Yeah, and they were good in all facets yesterday. And also keep in mind, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are very good wide receivers, also teaming up with George Kittle at tight end, one of the best combinations that you have. The Philadelphia Eagles do have an equally good combination, but the thing that they were missing yesterday, which I was hoping was going to happen before game time, was the activation of Dallas Goedert. That's going to come next week against the Dallas Cowboys, because for weeks on end, they're getting nothing out of the tight end position, which that was one of their strengths, which turned into a weakness. We'll see if that changes in the game upcoming against the Dallas Cowboys, how quickly Goedert gets back. But when the San Francisco offense is moving. I've said this all along. Kyle Shanahan is the best play caller in the NFL, and it's by a wide margin. When you have great talent and you can scheme them open, it's not as if, hey, we got to get Deebo Samuel going this week. Like, no, you have 5 or 6 options you can get after and work them into the game plan. Yeah. And when they're all functioning at the same time, you saw it yesterday. The first 2 drives were terrible. After that, the 49ers pretty much did whatever they wanted out there.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we knew there were going to be some odds implications and some market movement following the game. We'll look at the overall outlook for both the 49ers and the Eagles in just a moment. But also individually, because of the result yesterday, Jalen Hurts entered the weekend as the lone favorite to win the NFL MVP. Now he moves back, tied for the second best price alongside Brock Purdy. And who is the lone favorite entering week number 14? That would be Dak Prescott, Dallas's quarterback, at 3-1. And take a look at the names around Jalen Hurts, by the way. Dak, Brock, and Patrick Mahomes, 3 of the 4 opponents the Eagles will play here in the past month.
Yeah, and it's nice. Sometimes you have some of those eliminator games in the regular season to see who's going to be the MVP and who's playing great football. There still are a lot of big football games left, which if you want Dak Prescott to get an extra bump, have him have a sensational game against the Philadelphia Eagles in a win, and those statistics will change as well.
Yep.
But each one of these teams, when we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the 49ers, the easiest schedule on the way out probably is going to be the San Francisco 49ers, technically. Yep. They do have one really tough game. I believe it's on Christmas against the Ravens. The Philadelphia Eagles have 2 more tough games. Going to Seattle is no cakewalk here for the Eagles, and they play on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. But having looked at everything there from the Dallas Cowboys perspective, they got a tough way all along. So if I'm projecting out here, Ben, on what we're looking at now, let's just say the Eagles do lose on Monday, or excuse me, Sunday Night Football to the Dallas Cowboys. I still think the Eagles will win the division, but then that number one seed probably is going to go to the 49ers because there's a legitimate chance, Ben, they can win out, and they have the tiebreaker over the Philadelphia Eagles now.
And Dallas, by the way, for next Sunday night, another marquee matchup for Philadelphia. Sunday night at the Star, the Cowboys an early full field goal 3-point favorite at home. Here's the odds outlook for Philly and San Fran following yesterday. San Francisco now the favorite to win the NFC Championship at plus 160. The Super Bowl favorite as well at plus 350 in front of both Kansas City and Philadelphia. Those two teams lost. The 49ers, of course, beat the Birds yesterday. Dallas at plus 480. Still at this moment, though, Philadelphia in odds-on favorite, minus 125, to be that number one overall seed. Despite the loss, Donnie, the Birds still have a game advantage over San Francisco and Dallas at the moment for the best record in the NFC.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part about it, too, because it wasn't yesterday an elimination game in the playoffs where, okay, the Eagles can't win it now. They're still technically the number one overall seed, and you get a huge bump if the Eagles do go on the road and beat the Dallas Cowboys. And that would say, okay, just beat Seattle and you're basically in because you have 3 layups to end the season. But there's a lot of football to go. Upsets happen all the time.
Yeah.
We'll see if these teams can be perfect down the stretch and shake things up.
Philly moves back, tied for the third best price at 6-1 alongside Baltimore. The Flock had a bye this weekend. Kansas City with the loss that we'll look at in just a moment, plus 470. San Francisco a little bit of space now, $1.20 as that Super Bowl 58 favorite. More around the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Plenty more from week number 13 in the NFL Sunday slate live right here on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Sunday night football at the frozen tundra, the first Sunday in December, and something just felt natural about Lambeau Field with some snow on the ground outside in Green Bay, Wisconsin for Sunday night football under the lights. What does not feel natural, however, is a Kansas City offense that is not putting out points, less than 20 once again, as the Green Bay Packers win their third consecutive game, 27-19 on Sunday Night Football, outright as a 5.5-point underdog. Donnie, this year, Green Bay has been an underdog 10 times. They're now 6-4 against the number. Five of those six covers, an outright victory, and number 10 taking over for number 12 is starting to look the part. More than 260 yards passing last night, 267, three touchdowns, no interceptions, outduels Patrick Mahomes. Jordan Love, because of the bump in his play, has led Green Bay to three straight wins.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed with Green Bay. And it's not saying like, okay, they held Kansas City under 20 points. It was a good defensive effort. I get it. I'm not looking at A.J. Dillon, 18 carries for 73 yards doing the job. We're looking straight at Jordan Love. You are only as good as your quarterback in the NFL. And there were a lot of question marks coming into the season. Because yes, Jordan Love was going to take the helm. And how would he do as the bona fide starting quarterback here for the Green Bay Packers? But at the same time, he wasn't a rookie being thrust into a position that he was going to be sure of. He was years and years in Green Bay learning that playbook. And even starting out, going, man, I just don't know if he's going to be that guy because of how good the quarterbacks have been in the past. You're holding him up to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, two of the best all time to do it. Now, we're not calling him Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers out of the bat, but the last couple weeks have shown you that promise. If you continue to add on to that offense, it's only going to get better. Dobbs, 72 yards. Watson, 71 yards. You don't have very much after that, but he was the key ingredient. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes on a big stage at Lambeau. Loved what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, Donnie, you know what was so interesting as well? Mahomes' passing yards prop remained the same, 255.5 entering Sunday night football. When we spoke on Friday previewing the NFL weekend, Jordan Love's number was 227.5, despite the fact the Packers quarterback had gone over that in five straight games, at least 268 yards in three in a row. But his number worked down to 219.5 before Sunday night football. It was cold, but it wasn't snowy throughout the game. It wasn't really windy that affects the aerial attack more than most. Jordan Love well over that number once again, 267 yards and three touchdowns. In the last four games for Green Bay, 10 total touchdowns through the air to only two interceptions. And again, when you look at the Chiefs, Donnie, for the sixth time this year, they have scored 20 points or less. That is unfathomable almost for an Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes offense, but they come up short last night. Yes, there was some controversy on the final Hail Mary as Travis Kelce got shoved and grabbed, and there was a lot of moving parts in the end zone. But when it comes down to a Hail Mary and you're down by 8 points on the road as a 5.5-point favorite, you clearly haven't taken care of business at some point. KC falls back to 8-4. Green Bay has won three in a row. They're an even 500 at 6-6, firmly in that wild card chase in the NFC postseason picture.
Yeah, and I think Green Bay Packers are going to end up getting one of those wild card spots here, which is fantastic because this looks like a team, and sometimes we talk about playing your best football at the end of the year. Green Bay certainly fits that criteria. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs is probably where the most of the focal point is going to go because why? We always expect big things out of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but the miscalculation at the wide receiver position is going to doom them in because, as we know, Patrick Mahomes is an unbelievable quarterback, maybe the most skilled quarterback in the history of football. He can win games all by himself, and Travis Kelce Kelce may be the best tight end to ever play the game. Sure, that works here, but Kelce getting a little bit older, you can't just throw him the football 15 times a game and say he's the only thing we need. Can you imagine, and I know we had it just a few years ago, a Tyreek Hill caliber player, wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes? It scares everybody. Nobody is scared by this offense anymore. Sure, you don't want to play Patrick Mahomes. I get it here, but there's no longer that fear factor of if we play man-to-man defense, we are going to be lit up like a Christmas tree, but if we play zone, Patrick Mahomes is going to pick us apart. Now teams are getting ultra-aggressive with the wide receivers, taking away Travis Kelce and forcing you to beat him. And keep in mind that football game, too. How about the Green Bay Packers defense stepping up late in that game with an interception of Patrick Mahomes, which was a 50-50 ball that the defender went out and got there? This was a great performance out of the Packers. I want to give them the thumbs up to get to the playoffs, and you're taking that downgrade now saying, oh, I really don't know what to expect out of the Kansas City Chiefs, but I know one thing, they're not nearly as dangerous, Ben, as what they've been in the past couple years.
The Chiefs still the favorite to win the AFC title at plus 210, but Kansas City was also the favorite entering the weekend to be that number one overall seed in the AFC. Now they are not. They're 20 cents behind Baltimore, the Ravens plus 220. Kansas City still the easiest schedule remaining in the AFC out of the entirety of the conference. Baltimore a much more difficult schedule, but KC's 8-4. Jacksonville on Monday night is a 9.5-point favorite at home against Cincinnati. I bring that up, Donnie, because there's a potential that at the end of this weekend, KC is a full game behind three teams who will be 9-3 in the AFC. The Ravens, the Dolphins, who blew out the Commanders yesterday as well, and Jacksonville, who plays on Monday Night Football against Cincinnati. It's not the easiest path for this Kansas City team to getting that top spot in the AFC. And again, Green Bay, like Donnie alluded to, the easiest schedule remaining in all of the NFL. It is why the Packers sit in a very favorable spot at this moment to have an NFC wildcard position. On the other side, Donnie, a game that had true implications for the AFC wildcard chase, which is not something we probably expected on paper when you saw the Broncos and Texans for a Week 13 matchup maybe just a few Sundays ago. But it was a great game yesterday in H-Town. The Texans holding on at the end. The third interception of Russell Wilson in the game gives Houston a home victory. 22-17. The Texans covering for the first time as a favorite this season, laying 3.5 points at home.
Yeah, that final interception, more of Russ trying to make a play, and also when they were back into that football game, a tip ball at the line of scrimmage added to an interception. But again, that means that you're not getting lucky as a defense. You're putting yourself in the best possible positions. Balls just don't get tipped by accident. Interceptions in the end zone that are 50-50 balls when your defender goes up and takes it away, those are big-time plays for the Houston Texans, who coming into the season, we didn't really know what we were going to get. Hey, let's just see if C.J. Stroud could be a decent quarterback. Let's let the things play out, and you know, we'll go into the offseason and see what's what. They're getting playmakers all over the field, which includes their defense, which I'm shocked at now stepping up to the table. That's one of those games where you say Russell Wilson has won Super Bowls before. CJ Stroud has never been to the playoffs. Now, I understand it's his first season, but in those big spots here, you expect Russell Wilson to come up big, and he wasn't able to do that on that final drive. And also, let's keep in mind, this wasn't a Patrick Mahomes, hey, let me loft it 40 yards into the end zone for a chance at a victory. This was the Denver Broncos in the red zone with ample time on the clock to make plays, and they just couldn't do it. And also, by the way, on that final interception, this wasn't just, hey, let me see what happens here, bad play from the pocket. He was chased out of the pocket and harassed, which is why he threw that football instead of getting sacked, which turned into an interception. Great performance by the Houston Texans. I'm not going to bury the Denver Broncos yet because they're still in the playoff race, but I felt like yesterday was the winner of this game was going to make the playoffs, but the loser wasn't necessarily on the outside looking in. That's a big-time win for the Houston Texans. So every week, I'm so impressed with that team. And also keep in mind, one of those where they run out to a nice early lead here and still were able to hang on. That's a sign of a team that's learning how to win. It's fun to watch.
The Texans now a -355 price, -355 to make the AFC playoffs. That is absolutely insane. 7-5, Houston over their preseason win total of 6.5. It was C.J. Stroud, another phenomenal performance, 274 passing yards over his prop, threw a touchdown as well. I'll talk about Russ in just a moment, but it was Will Anderson Jr., the other top three first-round pick for Houston, the edge rusher out of Alabama, two sacks, two TFLs, four quarterback hits, multiple pressures, and a pass defended yesterday, you can see why Houston traded that first pick next year to go up and to get Will Anderson Jr., taking on the mentality of their head coach. Defense first for D'Amico Ryans. The Texans at home in Houston, 5-2 straight up this year. A big component of why the Texans stand where they do in that AFC playoff picture. On the other side, a five-game win streak comes to a close for Denver. Russell Wilson, under 200 yards once again. Seven of his last eight games, under 200. And in the five-game win streak, Donnie, he threw eight touchdowns, zero interceptions. Yesterday, only a touchdown and three INTs.
Yeah, and we might be looking at a losing streak here coming up for the Denver Broncos. Now, granted, they end up winning, beating the Packers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, and the Browns in that winning streak. Just weren't able to hit the margin here against the Texans. Keep in mind, the Texans actually got the cover in this football game. Those 3.5s early in the week turned into threes, didn't matter at the end of the game. But coming up here at the Chargers, who got a win against, if you want to call it a win, against the New England Patriots, 6-0, then at the Lions. So their margin of error is very thin coming into these next two games. But also, to your point, this is the new offense for the Denver Broncos, and sometimes your coaches have to adapt what Sean Payton is doing. The way to victory for the Denver Broncos is not Russ throwing 40 times a game and being his MVP self. He's an older version, which means take care of the football. What did he do during that win streak, Ben? Took care of the football. What did he not do yesterday? Take care of the football. That's why they lost. They're going to win games by staying under in football games. This is a different version of Russ, and I like the way Payton's played it out. It just didn't work yesterday.
Quarterback concerns for two wild card contenders out of the AFC North. We know the litany of injuries to the Cleveland Browns. It's why Joe Flacco got the start. But for Pittsburgh yesterday, in a game full of weather delays in the Steel City, Kenny Pickett gets injured in the opening half, and the Cardinals win outright by two touchdowns, 24-10, as a 5.5 point underdog. Kenny Pickett injured. It looks like Mitchell Trubisky will get the start on Thursday Night Football against the Patriots for Pittsburgh. We'll look at the AFC North, the rest of the Sunday slate around Week 13, coming your way next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let's dive into the AFC North, because there are quarterback concerns and questions for two teams that have been firm in the AFC wildcard hunt all season long. After multiple lengthy weather delays in Pittsburgh, the Steelers lose outright as a 5.5 point home favorite against the Arizona Cardinals, a game that not many people saw coming, either from the weather or what happened in the opening half as well. Kenny Pickett, an ankle injury that is expected to sideline him for multiple weeks. And with that injury, Donnie, there were some concerns, the rhythm and flow of the game taken out, and Arizona picks up their third win outright of the year as a 5.5 point underdog in Acrisure, winning by two touchdowns, 24-10. How concerning, Donnie, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers backer, is this for the Steelers in the final month and a half of this NFL regular season?
And by the way, I nailed this game, Ben. I said the final score would be 24-10 all week long last week and on the show yesterday and on Friday. Look at the final score, 24-10. I just didn't think it would be Arizona Cardinals. This is a devastating loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are the games we talk about that are layups that are giving you from your opponent. You're coming in with a dead team, the Arizona Cardinals. I get Kyler Murray is back, but that's all they have. Do I like McBride at tight end? Absolutely. He's a monster. But this team has given up, particularly on the defensive end. I didn't care anything with what Arizona had to do, Ben, on offense against the Steelers, because I thought the Steelers would put up a pretty good fight. DJ Watt would get after it. They'd make enough plays. But I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, as bad as it is, could do whatever they want against Arizona. You want to run, you can do it against Arizona. You want to pass, you can do it against Arizona. And they were terrible. And I understand Kenny Pickett went down early in that game, 7 of 10 for 70 yards, had a passer rating of 89. I don't even think that was going to make a difference. The Steelers were poor across the board in every situation. And also, the delays in the game, slowing it down, you never could get back into rhythm. But my goodness, none of that is any excuse for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be at home against the Arizona Cardinals when you're fighting for playoff positioning to lose that football game. An embarrassment here. And Mike Tomlin said it best in the postgame press conference, Ben. Yeah, there was a lot of JV football going on out there yesterday. This should have been a game where you rolled your helmets out and wiped Arizona off the field. And instead, they got blown out.
The Steelers now on a short week as well as we look forward to week number 14, Thursday night football in Pittsburgh. It's Mitchell Trubisky's Steelers against Bailey Zappi's New England Patriots. The total is 31.5. The Steelers wear black and gold. The Iowa Hawkeyes wear black and gold. This game is going under. On the other side, Donnie, in the AFC North, the Browns and the Steelers both entered yesterday 7-4, the two top spots in the AFC wild card. The Browns, a litany of quarterback issues. Deshaun Watson out for the remainder of this year. Dorian Thompson-Robinson still in concussion protocol. Joe Flacco, fresh off the streets, makes the start yesterday in SoFi in Los Angeles. It did not end well. The Rams win by 17, 36-19, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite. For the Rams in the NFC wildcard chase, a big result. They've now won three straight games, covering in their last two, a favorite in all three. The veteran quarterback Matthew Stafford, 279 and three touchdowns. Joe Flacco's Browns on the other side lose big. And Donnie, that's a big part of the conversation as Pittsburgh falls to 7-5. The Browns are 7-5. We showed you the Texans at 7-5 and the Indianapolis Colts 7-5. Four teams all with the same record, battling and jockeying for those three AFC wildcard spots.
Yeah, this is bad news for the Browns, because what were the Browns' MO here moving forward? Well, if we could just get something out of Joe Flacco, we'll play stellar defense. They were ripped apart yesterday by all facets. Kyren Williams, 88 yards on the ground. Nacua got 105, even got injured in that football game. Coop barely even participated, it felt like, going under the 40-yard mark. But the question mark here from the Cleveland Browns side was, what the heck is going on with our defense, and how did we give up 36 points on the road in this one? They now sit 7-5 on the season, and this thing is going to start to fall fast here, because the one thing, as I said, you're going to lean on the running game, which wasn't there yesterday, only 3.0 yards per carry. I thought Joe Flacco was fine. You actually don't want him throwing 44 times a game, but he gave you 254, two touchdowns, along with the one interception. They only scored 19 points in that game. That's the real issue here. Now, certainly, injuries happen during a game. He's looking at Amari Cooper, first drive of the game, 28 yards. Like, okay, this is going to work out. And that was my focal point on the Browns offense. I didn't think it would skip a beat here, because why? You're going from rookie quarterback to Joe Flacco. You're going to be fine in the passing game. But you saw Amari Cooper leave early in that football game after a drop in the concussion protocol. Things just didn't work out for the Cleveland Browns. This is one of those teams that I'm looking at. A lot of teams that are now starting to surge up the board here in the AFC are licking their chops on getting a chance of the Cleveland Browns to drop out of this race completely.
The Steelers still minus 166 to make the playoffs. The Browns minus 142. The Houston Texans are minus 355. We'll talk about the Indianapolis Colts in just a few minutes. Now, Donnie, elsewhere, if the Miami Dolphins are playing a bad team, they're going to win that football game, and they're going to win it by a lot. A 30-point margin in favor of the Fins, even on the road yesterday outside of the nation's capital in Landover. 45-15. Miami covers easily as a 9.5-point favorite. They almost go over the game total by themselves. It was 49.5. They score 45. And Donnie, they have gone over in 7 of 12 games. Miami has also covered in 8 of their 9 wins this year. Meanwhile, for the Commanders at home, 0-6-1 against the number. A 30-point win for the Dolphins.
Yeah, things are just collapsing here for the Washington Commanders. Love the fact that Ron Rivera is like, you know what? Defense isn't good enough. I'll step in and call the plays on defense. They get 45. And quite frankly, this game was a blowout, and there was no need to even score more as the Dolphins took their foot off the gas pedal. They should have hung 60 in Washington yesterday. One of those games where everybody was happy, including myself, hitting a nice parlay in this game. But the one I lost was Raheem Mostert. It was a blowout. Use that's good for your running back. He had 43 yards 2 minutes into the second half and never saw a carry again because Devon Achane came in and gets his 17 for 73 and two scores. The Miami Dolphins, I think we can agree, the single most fun team to watch, but they're such a wild card because they absolutely blast teams that they can blast, and they love to run it up, and it's fun to watch. When they step up here, Sometimes it doesn't work in the directions. There's a lot of Dallas Cowboys in the Miami Dolphins, but if they put it together on offense, there's not very many teams that can stop them. And they're healthy now with Achan. Is that number two in the backfield here? It'll be fun to watch it play out. But yesterday, that was just destruction of the Washington Commanders. And maybe we get a press conference today that another coach is going in Washington. Probably should be Ron Rivera. Just let Eric Bieniemy take this down the stretch here. Let him call the shots. Let him run the roost here just to see what he has and see if he wants to be a part of that organization next year. It's time to cut Ron loose. He just doesn't have it.
Riverboat Ron's days as the head coach of this Washington franchise are numbered. Devon Achane back for Miami, 17 carries, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill continues to make the case for the AP Offensive Player of the Year. 5 grabs, 157 yards, a long of a 78-yard break, and 2 touchdowns. The Dolphins now, with the Broncos losing yesterday in Houston to the Texans, all 9 of the wins for Miami against teams at an even 500 currently or below that mark. The Detroit Lions have the number of the NFC South. I mean, everybody kind of has the number of teams in the NFC South, including their own division. The Lions were up big, Donnie. 21-0 in the opening quarter in New Orleans against the Saints with less than 7 minutes gone by in the football game. Credit to New Orleans. They made things interesting, but the Lions do prevail 33-28, covering as a 4.5-point road favorite. That Lions defense, though, great in the opening month and a half, struggling now over in 4 straight games, but a perfect 4-0 straight up and against the spread for Detroit against the NFC South this season.
Yeah, and by the way, if I take a look at Derek Carr, who got absolutely splashed, here's what I love about watching some of these defenders here. You have a textbook play that you cannot do, and after Bruce Irvin got the 15-yard penalty that knocked out Derek Carr, he's like, oh my gosh, look at that. He's pointing at the scoreboard like he did the right move, like what did I do wrong? Embarrassing there from him. But having said that, you know, it was embarrassing here, getting down 21-0 in your own building. I believe I saw, Ben, the first time in decades that a team scored 3 offensive touchdowns in the first 7 minutes of a game. I mean, Detroit was absolutely on cruising control, and the funny thing about this was yesterday, of course, on Pro Football Today, we give out our best bets. My best bet of the day, David Montgomery to score an anytime touchdown. I didn't even get to my car before he hit that here because every time they get inside the 5, that's his. But you had Jared Goff only throw for 213 and 2 touchdowns, but didn't give the football up. They held on late here. Right. A win is a win. That's a tough environment. Even though I don't think the Saints are all that great anymore, it's still hard to get wins on the road, and particularly when you have a big lead and you see that momentum switch. Good for the Lions to hold on and improve with their 9th victory of the season.
That seat for Dennis Allen also becoming very warm in the Big Easy. Miami 9-3, Detroit 9-3. The Lions 9-3 for the first time in more than 60 years since 1962, Donnie Wrightside.
Amazing, man. Look at that. Who would have thought the Detroit Lions stepping up their game here might be a factor in the NFC playoffs? We haven't seen that in a long time.
Minus 3,000 for the Finns to win the AFC East. The Lions minus 1150 with just 5 more weeks of the regular season to go in the National Football League, trying to win their first divisional title in the NFL in 3 decades. A game happened yesterday at MetLife Stadium. The Atlanta Falcons happened to win 13-8. They cover as a 1.5-point favorite. But Donnie, as you said, on Friday in the pick six, this game was going under, and it went under in a big way. 33.5 was the pregame total. It never came close.
Like, I don't, sometimes you wonder who's like calling the shots for the Jets. And the reason I bring this up is we all knew Tim Boyle stunk, and Tim Boyle got another start, which we laughed at and said, hey, man, Atlanta's going to catch a massive break here. And then you saw Tim Boyle get benched in that football game. And then Simeon comes in and goes, well, maybe we should go back to Boyle at this point. And the joke of it all is Aaron Rodgers isn't going to come back the rest of this year. Zach Wilson actually gives you the best chance to win football games, but they're so upset with him, they just can't go back to him. So you're just going to toil with Boyle and Simeon the rest of the way and see what you have. I'm not even going to take anything away about the Atlanta Falcons in this game because I think they came in with the right mentality. Guys, just don't make a big mistake. We'll win this football game. 13-8, that's all they needed here. And the defense got to stand there at midfield forcing that fumble, which was one of those close plays where the hand is going forward open-handed, and the Atlanta Falcons were able to put that football game away. But just embarrassing for the Jets because they have nothing at quarterback.
Invest in backup quarterbacks. When Aaron Rodgers went down 4 offensive snaps into the year with all the talent around the quarterback position, had the Jets made a move, maybe they would be in playoff contention. They are now 4-8. They have lost 5 straight games. Somebody's got to win the NFC South. I'm not sure who it's going to be. The Dirty Birds of Atlanta, the only team at an even 500. The three other teams, all a losing record. That includes Tampa Bay, who won yesterday at home 21-18. But the Carolina Panthers see the interim head coaching bump. They cover for just the second time this year, Donnie, as a 5.5-point underdog. Carolina now in their 12 games booked as a dog in all 12. 2-8-2 against the spread.
Moral victories here. That's what you're going for. The Carolina Panthers coming back, getting inside that number, which, by the way, couldn't figure out. This game closed at 3 yesterday, which is wild, opening up closer to a touchdown early in the week. Bryce Young, 178, no touchdown passes, an interception, a QBR of 18.9. So I mean, we wanted to see a little bit better. But the joke also for the Carolina Panthers is, hey, it can't get any worse. No, it actually can. Like, you had a football game where Chuba Hubbard got 25 carries for 104, and you were still, like, doing nothing from the quarterback position. This is an uphill battle in Carolina. No. But moral victory, baby. That's where I'm going yesterday.
Donnie, Bryce Young had an opportunity. Got the football back a little over 2.5 minutes to go down and lead a game-winning drive. He threw an interception. Not good. Carolina does cover. That's a good thing. Mike Evans makes history yesterday. 7 grabs, 162 yards. All 10 years of his NFL career, Mike Evans has recorded at least 1,000 receiving yards. More on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More reactions from the Week 13 NFL Sunday slate. And as we said throughout this discussion, looking at the AFC wildcard chase, there are 4 teams now at 7-5, and 2 of those clubs have already gone over their preseason win total, outperforming expectation. The Houston Texans, 7-5. And after a walk-off winner in overtime in Nashville, so too are the Indianapolis Colts. Indy has won 4 straight games, over 6.5 for the win total in the preseason, now at 7-5. They have also covered in all 4 of those games, booked as the favorite. Only a 1.5-point favorite, Donnie, in Tennessee yesterday. The Colts get the victory in OT. Gardner Minshew, 4-yard touchdown toss to Michael Pittman Jr. That's the difference for Indianapolis.
Shane Steichen was amazing yesterday. I mean, come on, you're going on the road with Gardner Minshew. He's throwing for 312, 2 touchdowns here. And also, here's a snapshot of this football game. Tell me before the game that Tennessee is going to have 177 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. And then tell me the Indianapolis Colts are going to have 55 yards on the ground at 2.4 yards per carry and no touchdowns. And tell me they came away with a victory. That's unbelievable. And even after that field goal in overtime, like, okay, that'll do it. Tennessee just has to come up with a stop. Minshew leads them down the field to score a touchdown and walk off on the road against a division rival. I love what I'm seeing out of the Colts. No idea how they're doing it, but they're getting it done.
Right now, Indianapolis would own that 7th and final AFC playoff spot because of a head-to-head tiebreaker against the Texans back from the opening month of the season. Those two AFC South foes will end the year week 18 against one another. There was a game played in Foxborough yesterday. The LA Chargers, a 4-7 football team, booked as a 5.5-point favorite, and they did win and cover 6-0 against the New England Patriots. But the story is New England, a 2-10 football team shut out for the second time at home this year. They have combined for 13 total points in their last 3 games. You think my voice is raised right now? College football playoff reactions when hour 2 starts in less than a minute.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.